Hello everyone, this is Aditya Mehta, your host at the podcast on personality development, coming back with the new season, The Career Stream, where I'm going to bring the career experts from all around the world so that we can learn some valuable skills to set our course to the best career possible. So make sure to hit that follow button so that you don't miss out any episode. Thank you so much for listening. I'm glad you're here. Hello everyone, this is Aditya Mehta and you are listening to the podcast on personality development. Having an ambition is the first step to success, but taking action towards it is the second step. We all have an ambition that we can have a perfect job one day where we enjoy our work and also we can have some good time for ourselves as well. But taking action towards it needs a little guidance. And to guide us with that, we have an author, speaker, and a leadership development coach, Jay Frenzy. First of all, Jay, thank you so much for taking out your valuable time and being a part of this show. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate you doing that.
Thank you so much. So, Jay, the very first thing which I would like to ask you, I have given your little introduction, but if you can give your detailed and brief introduction of yourself, that would be great.
Sure. No, I'd be happy to. I've been in the industry working for about 30 plus years now. I spent the first 25 to so years building a name for myself in the music industry, working in entertainment. And then as the times changed with the music industry, I transitioned with them into the security side of being in the entertainment industry, as well as the transportation side. Okay. And so for the past 10 plus years, I spent a lot of time working in the security end of it, where I worked my way up into the security industry. And that's where we are today. I just recently started my own coaching and leadership program to transition out of security into coaching.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Jay, I'm very curious about asking this another question to you. And it's basically like a follow-up question of your introduction. Like you were into the music industry. You went into the security of those music industry, into the music. And now you are a leadership development coach. So what motivated you or what was the motivation to actually, transition yourself from the music industry to the coaching industry of leadership development?
Sure. No, when I was a kid, I was very interested in music. I loved music. I loved playing music. I loved writing songs. Mm-hmm. But I found out real quickly I wasn't very good at it. So what I did find out I was good at was engineering and producing records, which was behind the scenes, making somebody else look and sound good. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed developing artists and working in that industry. So after high school and after I went to college, I did go to business school. So after high school and then after business school, I went on to work in New York and then into Nashville, where I worked for probably 15 years on country records for the country artists that you would hear on the radio. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And then as times changed, like I said, I changed with it where people started to do more recording at home. Mm-hmm. So I was only doing the mixing of their records. So what I ended up doing is find other ways that I could continue to work with those artists. Right. And that was to develop them, do some graphic arts for them, or to work on other parts of their project, or go on the road with them. So when I went on the road and did a couple live shows for them, I found out that they needed help arranging transportation. So I started doing the transportation for them.
Right.
And then ultimately found out they also needed help in security. So I started making the arrangements for security. Mm. And as I was doing that, I started developing relationships with those companies. And then I transitioned into that world where it took about 5 years for me to work my way up in that industry. But then for the past 6 years now, I've been working at the top of that industry.
Wonderful.
And like in your introduction on your website, you have also mentioned that you provide the strategy session for the companies who wants to, you know, move their way up into the industry. So, and what is that about? What is that? What are those strategies which you tell to the companies, which, you know, which can be useful for them as well?
Sure. No, I work doing personal branding. So if somebody would like to work on their resume or work on their LinkedIn profile or develop a book deal or just their image in general on the next step to make it in their career.
Right.
I figured now with the two careers that I've worked in, being the entertainment industry and the security industry, both of which are very hard to work your way up, I never had anybody to mentor me or coach me. And I feel like those lessons would have been valuable. So now I'm offering those lessons to other people. And it started with a little bit of history on it. When I was working in the security industry, I wanted to be that person who would help their team and mentor their team and give other people the opportunity to move up. So I started offering Wednesday night classes. After my work was over on Wednesday, I would stick around. And I would go into the conference room, and anybody who wanted to come in and ask questions or get coached or just sit through some sort of lesson that I may have thought was pertinent for them to know. So I was doing that on Wednesday nights, and it was going fairly well, and we started to get a good following. And then to the point where we started moving from the conference room into a training room, so it was a little larger. And then we started offering it to the community versus just my organization.
Right.
And then we were hit with COVID, where we couldn't do it any longer. So the request was that we didn't stop offering the stuff. So we turned it into an online program where people could log in online, similar to the way we're talking right now. And then they could still ask their questions and they could still get coached and mentored. And then that transitions into a live broadcast of a podcast. So now we're doing a live podcast, and we open it up to anybody who would like to join us, and we coach them and mentor them through some sort of step in their career. So that's how it started. And now my personal coaching is for the individual to come to me, and you know, we basically talk about their branding strategy.
That's wonderful, Jay. I mean, I am totally speechless about your journey. Like, you have been through the things and you want to make them understand to other people like how they can overcome the difficulties which you faced during your way up. And that is one of the best things anyone can do into the market, so that they can help others. And especially in this competitive world, it's really, really necessary that we have a mentor with ourselves. And you are being the mentor for those people. It's itself a great job that you are doing. So wonderful. So now diving, you know, straight into the topic of today's show, and that is about the ultimate way of seeking a perfect job, right? And it is really important nowadays, as you know, people from many industries have many options into the work field, and they have so many companies that they can work with. So it nearly becomes impossible to actually identify which would be the perfect job for them, right? And this becomes a really tedious task when a person is having, let's say, more than two offer letters or three offer letters, okay? And then he is just thinking like, which one should I go for, okay? And obviously the money isn't the only factor which needs to be considered, right? There are many more factors which needs to be considered as well. So, you know, my first question to you is like, what to exactly, you know, what can be the first step, okay, which, you know, an individual should follow, or a new, you know, a newbie into the market who has just completed his college graduation, okay, and they are stepping into onto the market, and what can be the first step for him so that he can, you know, start finding good jobs for himself?
Sure. Well, first, thank you for the kind words. And then to answer your question, the first step, I always recommend people go for where their passions lie. Their passion should be what drives them and what steers their compass. So for me, I always had a passion for working in the entertainment industry, even though I had to find my groove of what I was actually good at and what I could contribute. I wanted to work in that industry. So that's where my passion was. I would have done anything to work in that industry. And matter of fact, I started working for free and, you know, working my way up and trying to prove my worth. So the first thing I always recommend to people is that they follow up some sort of passion, if at all possible. Like you said, anybody can go out and get a job and make money. But if we follow a passion, that's how we turn it into a career. So that's the first step I would take. Then the second step I would take is to put in all the drive and passion, put that into the early stages of your career so that you are proving your worth to the person or organization that you're working for. That is critical. So if you are able to go there and answer and solve problems for that person or organization that you're working for, that's when you become valuable. And that's when you put yourself a step above everybody else. And then the last key to that puzzle is time, where you're willing to put in the time and energy and effort much longer than other people are willing to put in that drive and desire and the time. So for example, for me, when I started in the music industry, like I said, I did it for about 15 to 20 years before I actually became to the point where I was making a good living at it. So it took 15, 20 years of real hard effort. That's a long time.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about somebody who is getting married or having children to the point where they have to worry about putting food in somebody else's mouth other than their own, it's hard for somebody to do that. So when I was doing it, if I had to do those things, I may not have made it to the finish line. So putting that time in early, because now I am married and now I do have kids, and I wouldn't be able to do that same input, that same effort up front. I wouldn't be able to do that now. So having that ability to do that and having the time to do that and allowing yourself the time it takes to get there. Because I will tell you, I may not have been the best engineer in the world when I started. And I practiced and I tried and I learned and I took courses and I learned from every person I met, I learned something.
Right.
But it still didn't make me leaps and bounds better than anybody else. What it did was allow me the time to learn from everybody else.
Right.
And then when I reached the point where it was my turn, what made the difference is I was the last person standing. So maybe if somebody else made it that far, they may have got the opportunity over me, but they didn't because I was the last person standing. I had the time to put in to get to the finish line.
That's a wonderful, wonderful explanation, Jay. However, you know, as you mentioned, that time is the last key. And nowadays people have talent, they have intelligence. But the only thing which, you know, they lack is giving time to a particular field, right? I mean, we are living in a 4G internet speed generation, I would say. And soon the 5G is also coming. I think like it's in your country, it might have already come. So the point is that people are not willing to give time, okay? And that is one of the biggest problems which you know, I would say people of my age and, you know, people who are younger than me, they are facing this problem that they have to give time to a particular industry or to a particular field to make a career out of it. So let's say it can be 5 years, it can be 10 years, and as you mentioned, it took you nearly 15 to 20 years, right? Which is a pretty much long time. So what suggestion would you like to give to the people who are stepping into the industry or who are new into the industry or into the market, or, you know, who are just trying to set up that career? What suggestion would you like to give them?
Yes, you are spot on that people don't understand that you have to put in the time. Now, I work in the security industry, and I have thousands of officers who work for us because we work in physical security. We provide the security officers to big, large tech companies, hospitals, even retail organizations. So thousands of officers. And when they all start, I go into that first class. Every week we have an orientation class for a new set of recruits. And I always make the same offer. I tell them all that, you know, I know you're probably here for a job because you need to make money. And you came here at this point in your life for whatever reason brought you here. But I'm here to tell you that this could be a career. And if you look at it as a career, then you can work your way up in this company to the point where you can go from a small amount per hour to a large amount per year. And you can do that in a fairly quick time frame if you put the work into it. So everybody always gets excited. They sit on the edge of the chair. They listen. They want it. Yes, 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 yes. They start nodding their heads. And then I tell them that, you know, you're going to be working in the field. I work in the office. So if you want this information, if you want to know, if you want to eventually work in the office, come spend time here. Shadow people here that are in the office. They're all willing to have you be here. I've talked to everybody. Everybody is willing to have you shadow them. So whatever position you want, if you want to work in HR, come shadow HR, our recruiting department, our training department, our operations department. Come talk to me at any time. You know, make sure I'm here. And if you want to come talk to me, come talk to me. Hardly anybody ever takes me up on the offer. Hardly ever. And the reason is because they want it today. They want to know what they can do today. Or they feel like, well, I just graduated school, so obviously I know everything, and you should be hiring me to be in the office now.
Right.
And it's unfortunate, but that's not the case. So the other thing I tell people is, if you're up for a job and the person next to you is up for the same job, and if for some reason you guys have the exact same qualifications, my first question is always, well, what have you done for yourself? And they look at me like, I don't understand. Well, have you read any books lately? Have you taken a course, you know, outside of your normal schooling? Have you shadowed somebody to learn the software that's necessary for you to do this new job? Because just because you went to school and just because you have the degree doesn't mean that you know what software you need to use. For example, we use scheduling software. There's multiples, but there's one called WinTeam, which is fairly popular. And there's another one called labor scheduling. These are ways that we can schedule our employees in the field. It ties into the payroll, it ties into the invoicing to our clients. Well, if you don't know how to use that, I can't put you in the field doing this work.
Right.
So yes, you may have a degree, but you still don't know how to use the tools necessary to do the job. So that's why I have to go with this person over here. They don't have a degree, but they put the time in to learn the software. And so once I explain it like that, then people start to be like, okay, well, what do I need to do? And that's, well, why don't you come in on Wednesday night and we'll walk you through how to use this software and we'll coach you to what you need to do next. And maybe in a few weeks, you'll be ready to start applying for this job again.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderfully explained, Jay. And I'm pretty much sure all the audience is getting a great amount of value with what you are speaking right now. And personally, I am getting a great amount of value from you, to be very honest. You know, I mean, people at my age and needs to learn all these things. I am learning a great amount of things from many more people like you who are coming on the show and, you know, sharing their perspective, sharing the values which they have. So thank you so much for giving each and every answer in detail, which is really, really helpful. My next question is that, you know, there are people, okay, who are talented, who are intelligent, who are ready to put their time as well. But unfortunately, they end up, getting a job which may be overqualified or underqualified for them, right? If it is underqualified, it's completely fine. Okay, but when a person is overqualified for the job and still he gets that job, right? And sometimes it also happens that you know, just looking at the salary or just looking at the big name of the company, okay, they join the company, but then they understand that there is a lot more in that company and they are not enjoying their work over there. So, you know, these are the circumstances and these are the situations where I've seen people to get into these kind of situations. So what would you suggest if, let's say, a person who is ready to put the time, who has good talent, who has good intelligence, and they want to, you know, make sure that they get into a good company where they are going to enjoy learning new work. Also, they are going to enjoy doing their work, and you know, they are, you know, appreciated by what they are doing as well. So what can be the first step of looking out for those companies?
Sure. So let me take one step back and let me tell you two things. One, for example, when I worked in the engineering world in the music industry, there's plenty of different types of engineers. So, for example, you have a recording engineer, the person who presses the big red button and records the musicians when they're in the studio. You have an editing engineer, the person who takes that recording and edits it before it goes into be mixed. So then you have the mixing engineer who takes all of those recordings that were recorded and they mix them down to a stereo track, which is what people will be listening to. And then you have the mastering engineer who takes that stereo track, joins it with other stereo tracks to make an album, and then that releases the album. And then you have live sound engineers and movie engineers and so on and so forth. So there's plenty of different types of engineers that all get the same schooling. You all go through the same school. So everybody gets excited and they want to take the first job that comes to them. And that's great. I understand that. You want to work in an industry that's hard and you found somebody willing to give you a job, so you take it. Or you take that internship that you think, well, this doesn't really matter anyways, it's just an internship. Well, if you want to be a mix engineer and you take an internship as a mastering engineer, well, you're learning the craft of being a mastering engineer and you're not learning how to be a mix engineer. And the longer you stay in that position, the more you learn about that role and the more ingrained you become in that portion of the industry. And then when you graduate, if you wanted to switch to be a mix engineer, you have to start all over again. So if you want to be a mix engineer and somebody, and that's the first offer somebody gives you as a mastering, you need to turn it down. And you need to turn it down to wait for your opportunity to be a mix engineer. Because even if it takes a little bit longer, another month or even two to get that role, that's when you learn what's going on in that portion of the industry. And that's when you start building your relationships and develop your time in that portion of the industry, which is where you want to be. So once you're there and it's where you want to be, and it's the same thing in security. I mentioned you have your IT world where you can go work for the Facebooks and the Googles and that stuff on their campus, or you can go work in logistics where you're doing transportation companies and you're doing truck yards or that, or hospitals. If you want to work in hospitals, you don't want to start over here at Facebook because it doesn't make sense. Yeah. You know, you'll be learning about Facebook and you'll be learning about that world, where if you want to work in the hospital, let's wait for an opportunity to open up over there. So you take the time to pick the path that you really want to be on. That's really important. And then to go to directly to your question, if you're on that path and somebody offers you an opportunity that is beyond your level, so it's out of reach, something you don't normally think, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for this, but they offer it to you, I'm never telling you to turn that opportunity down, but you do need to think it through. Because if you turn it down, you're losing out on an opportunity that could have really advanced your career.
Right.
But if you take it, you're also looking at the opportunity that you could fail and ruin your career, or ruin that, you know, take two steps back. So that is always how I got my opportunities. I was in an opportunity or in a role and I was working hard and I was putting more drive and more energy and more desire into the role than other people were, so I became good at it. So if I'm good at that, they must assume I'm good at everything else. So therefore they hire me to, or promote me up to a different position that I may not have been ready for. So now here's the option. I could either fail and take two steps back, or I could work really hard on my free time to learn everything that I didn't know about that role and show that I can do it. And that's what I did. And for me personally, every opportunity I had to move forward, I then had to go backwards and get the education necessary for that role and the experience. So I would find people who were in the role and I would learn everything I could and try to find out, you know, the ins and outs of everything. And then I would succeed. And then I would get promoted up again. And I'd be like, okay, well, here we go again. So now I have to go get the education to back that position up. And then I have to learn everything there is about that role until I can move up again. So to me, it was a little backwards. Rather than getting the education first and finding the knowledge first, I had to constantly back myself up. So if you were going to offer me a role today that was higher than what I have, I'm going to have to go ahead now and get the education and the tools necessary to do that role. Right. So I don't necessarily recommend that to people, but I wouldn't shoot it down. If you have the opportunity to move up and move up fast, you can take it. Just realize it's going to take a lot more work than it would if you put the work in up front.
That's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderfully explained answer one more time, Jay. Now let us, you know, transit towards the LinkedIn profile, which is, you know, one of the most important things nowadays to actually, you know, find a good amount of individuals like you and also, you know, getting jobs as well. So what do you suggest, like, what should, like, how to set up a perfect LinkedIn profile for, you know, for even a student who is just coming on, you know? So how can he set up his LinkedIn profile?
Sure. Well, let's step back and realize, what is a LinkedIn profile, right? A LinkedIn profile is an extension of who you are. So when we talk about personal branding, branding is a word that everybody throws around these days and typically is starting to be looked at as negative. However, all branding really is your reputation. So if we think about your reputation, LinkedIn is your professional reputation that's available for others to view online. It's an extension of who you are and an extension of what your resume is. So the first thing you got to do is realize that. Then the next thing you got to realize is it is a social platform. So you need to be involved socially in order to get the most out of it. It's a network. It's a network of like-minded people who are there to promote themselves within an industry. Now, they offer every industry. However, you find the group of people in your industry and you network with them and you develop your community of people. And that doesn't mean you find somebody in your industry and you send them a message and say, I want to work for you. No, what you want to do is provide value first off. So LinkedIn, obviously, it's the reputation portion first, then it's the social community portion second. And then you have to start worrying about the page itself. So once you're looking at the page itself, what are we looking at? So a lot of people start to not quite think their way through it. So for example, you have a header at the top of the page. We should take full advantage of that space. So we want to make sure we have a custom header, something that specifically fits the dimensions necessary for LinkedIn and provides some sort of basic information, whether that be your name, your contact information, what your title is, what industry you're working in, things that when people come to your page, the very first thing they see is your header, and they have a good understanding of what they're going to find on your page. And then you want to carry that consistently through the rest of your page. So the next thing should be your profile picture. The two things that people see when they first come to your page is your header and your profile picture. You want to make sure your profile picture is a professional photo that people will see and understand who you are, get a good visual of who you are. It should be, you know, from shoulders up, you know, a headshot, as they call it.
Right.
And then your name should be just your name. It shouldn't be some sort of catchphrase or something. It should be your name.
Right.
And then you have the bio section there. That bio section to me is a three-step formula, the who, what, and how. So who you're going to help, how you're going to help them, and or who you're going to help, what you're going to do for them, and how you're going to do it.
Wow.
So to me, that those are the steps necessary. So I help people do this by doing this. That's the three-step formula. So I help managers rise to the next level through strategic coaching, some sort of step-by-step formula. So it tells the people who come to your page exactly what you do. So I lead teams to operational excellence through strategic coaching or through operational management. So you want to have that three-step formula tagline underneath your name. So it doesn't leave any room for interpretation. When somebody comes to your page, they know exactly what it is you do. They see your header, they see your photo, they see your name, and they know what you do. Right there on the very top fold of your page, they see who you are, what you do, and they make a quick judgment call of whether or not you're professional enough to even scroll down to the rest of your page. So then once they start scrolling, the next section is the summary section. In that summary section is a portion of the page where you have now an opportunity in so many characters to tell somebody about yourself. But you don't want to just say, you know, I am this and I am very good at writing. I am very good at communication. You don't want that. What you want to do is list some sort of overview of who you are, what you do, how you do it. And then you want to back that up with some sort of metric. You know, I oversee a team of 200 people. I have increased our revenue by X percent and I've reduced our overtime by X percent. And you just keep going down that path. So for me, I always say, well, I manage 5 offices, a team of, you know, 1,500 officers overseeing so many clients, and always spell out the metrics. Nobody wants to know just that, yes, I'm an operations manager. Well, that's great. What kind of operations manager are you, or to what level have you reached? In my world in security, everything is based on hours. And what I mean by that is hours of service. So hours of service, if I'm sending one officer to one job site and I have somebody there 24/7 around the clock, that's 168 hours in a week. So if you are that officer and you're working at that site, you're putting in your 8 hours, but then you're relieved by somebody else who puts in their 8 hours, and then so on. This goes on for one full week. That's 168 hours. Okay. If you're the one managing that service, you are responsible for managing one client with a team of officers that run 168 hours worth of service. Now, if you took on a second site that did the same thing, or added a second person, so now you get 2 people around the clock, now you're doing a 336. So the more hours you do, the more responsibility you have. The more responsibility you have, the higher your pay goes, the bigger the title you get, and so on. But that comes with time. So if you can come to me and tell me, I'm an operations manager. Well, that's great. How many hours of service have you run? Mm. You say, well, I run 168 hours of service. Okay, that's great. That means you're at an entry level, you know, security operations manager. Right. If you come to me and tell me you run 165,000 hours, okay, well, that's different. So now that tells me you're probably senior level. You're, you know, probably the vice president of the company, and you're running maybe 400 clients, or, you know, 25 strategic accounts. Right. A strategic account is typically an account that makes, you know, over a certain number of revenue in a year, and they have a global span of multiple countries. So it just tells me what type of operations manager you are and what level you're at. Because there's nothing wrong with being the person at 168 hours. Because I can say, you know what, that's great. Let's go ahead and expand you a little bit. And I'm going to give you 2 sites. Now you're overseeing 336. You're thrilled. Your pay went up, your title went up, and you get more responsibility. But I'm also thrilled because you're working within your capabilities. And it's not that you came to me and say, oh yeah, I can manage 168,000 hours. Okay, and then I give you a portfolio of clients and you get buried. So that doesn't benefit either one of us. So being transparent, being honest, and making sure that you put those metrics into your portfolio, into your LinkedIn profile, that's what helps you. And then you do that for all of your work experience that you've had up to this point. So for example, for myself, it might be this job, I oversee 168,000 hours. This job, maybe I only oversaw 125. This one I oversaw 75. This one was 50. It just keeps working its way down to where I started in the industry. And that way, now I show the progression. Mm-hmm. And not only was I able to progress from this low level to this high level, mm-hmm. my pay also progressed from low to high. My title progressed from low to high. So it shows that I put in the time and the effort it took to get to the top. So you're starting to show a pattern for the people who are viewing, the hiring managers who are viewing your LinkedIn profile. And then the next section down would be education. So education is something that people say isn't too important these days, but I still feel like it has value, and it doesn't have to be formal education, but understanding the education necessary to get the role you're applying for is definitely necessary. So I don't need you to have to go to a formal university to get that education. However, you need to come to me with some sort of proof that you've learned that. So if you want to be an operations manager and you didn't go to school to be an operations manager, okay, so how did you get the knowledge necessary to be an operations manager? And if you say, well, I started at this company over here, I worked for 10 years, I studied under this person, I learned everything they had to know, and I think now I'm ready to branch out on my own, that's probably more valuable to me than the person who came to me with the college education.
Okay.
So just understanding how to sell yourself, how to promote yourself. This is the branding piece. This is the coaching part that I think is necessary. And this is what I try to do for my clients, is show them it's how you represent yourself. And that's what's important. So then the next section down would be your endorsements and your recommendations. I always tell people LinkedIn gives you the opportunity to have 50 skills listed under your skills section. I say take advantage of maybe 40 to 45 of those skills. Make sure you fill them out and make sure they're really pertinent to what you're trying to go for, the type of job you're trying to get. And then leave yourself 5 to 10 open. And the reason for this is, say I want to go to company X down the street here and they have an ad out right now and I think I'm a good fit for this person. So I apply for this job and LinkedIn will tell you when you go to that ad that you're a 30% match for this job. Okay, well, why am I only 30% match? And then it tells you this organization is looking for these 10 skills and you only matched 3 of them. Well, you have 5 to 10 open on your page now, and it shows you what those skills are. You put those skills on your page, and now all of a sudden you're a 100% match for that job. And it as long as you truly understand those skills, because sometimes it says, you know, project manager, and sometimes it says project management. It's the same thing, but because the person putting that ad out put project manager versus project management, you didn't qualify. So as long as you truly have the skill, you leave yourself 5 to 10 openings, you make that adjustment, and now you're a perfect match for that job. So when you apply for that job, what it does is it helps you beat the ATS, the applicant tracking system, and get the resume in the hands of the hiring manager who's truly hiring for that role. So now you can have a face-to-face, one-on-one conversation with this person and truly sell yourself and try to get yourself in the door. Where before you wouldn't even have the opportunity. You were only a 30% match. You're not even going to beat the system. So these are ways of helping you do that. Mm-hmm. And then the last piece is the recommendations there. And I recommend that you get as many recommendations on your LinkedIn page as you can, from coworkers, from people above you, to show that you have some sort of credibility, that people are willing to put their name behind you. And when they do that, you can ask people to do it for sure. Like I could say, hey, do you mind going to my page and just give me a quick little recommendation? That's great. And as long as you feel like you can put your name behind me, go to my page and give me a recommendation.
Right.
What I, what I wouldn't recommend you doing is going to 10 people, asking for that recommendation, they give it to you, and then you never go back to your recommendation section again. Because all that does is show you got 10 recommendations in a week, and then nobody ever said a word to you again. So you want to spread them out. Maybe ask one person this week, ask another person next week, and so on until people start doing that on their own. And then there's some little tricks you could do. If you notice on LinkedIn, when you're on the page, it'll say people who have viewed this profile have also viewed this profile. Well, you can shut that feature off. And I recommend you doing that because if you are, in our case here, an operations manager and you're applying for that role, and I go to your page and I say, oh yeah, you know, I've done this. Oh, they've also viewed Susie over here. Well, Susie is an operations manager. And now I click on Susie. Now I've completely off your page.
Right.
And now Susie's getting all my attention. So what we want to do is make sure that we shut that feature off so we don't give the people the opportunity to jump off of your page.
Wonderfully explained. And that was such a fantabulous explanation, Jay. And I'm pretty much sure that, you know, with all those knowledge, all these knowledge which you provide me, I am definitely like, you know, within 2 days, my LinkedIn profile is going to look a lot better just because the things which you said. And obviously, I would suggest all the audience, okay, don't just listen to this podcast, but try to implement things what is being shared over here, because just listening is not going to help you out. you have to implement it as well. And definitely I'm going to implement it within 1 or 2 days. Jay, you can if you can review my LinkedIn profile when this is all being done, that would be great, Jay. So thank you so much if you could do that. And thank you anyways, actually, to actually say all the things which was necessary. So Jay, one last thing before we move up to the Instagram followers question round, because there are certain followers of this podcast who have asked you a question, so we'll be moving up to that. But before that, on your website, it has been written that you are also an author of the book Leadership. If you can share something about that book as well, and who can actually read that book for, and what should be, who should be the audience for that book?
Sure. No, I thank you for bringing it up. The book is Leadership Lessons from the Field, and it's a series of lessons that I have learned through my journey of trying to make it through the world of operations and running the security industry. And what I have done is every time an employee came to me with a concern, I didn't just answer their concern and say goodbye, or address their concern and say goodbye. What I did was I addressed it, I let them go, but I also wrote a quick little, 500 word article about it and submitted that back to them. And then I posted it on our website so that the rest of the team, if anybody else had that same question, they could find that. And what I did after 50 plus of these pieces, I assembled it into a book and made that available for my team. And they appreciated that. And then I started to find out other people wanted to read it. So what I did is made it available to everybody. But while you're mentioning that, free scoop for you, sir. This book here is The Ideas of Leadership. This is a new one. It's going to be released here in the next week or two. And this book here is all about the ideas of leadership. And it's an acronym that stands for the steps we take that we find necessary for making it through leadership. So if you have any desire or anything like that, that'll be available on the website here shortly.
That's wonderful. So is it only available on your website, or is it also available on other websites like Amazon and Flipkart or any other places?
Yeah, the first one, Leadership Lessons from the Field, is already on the website, Amazon, and any place else you'd like to buy a book. This one here is ready for distribution. It's just in its final stages of being approved. This copy that I'm holding up for you, sir, is an approval copy. So it's intended for me to look through it it's intended to make sure the graphics line up, the text lines up, the pages in the middle, everything looks the way it's supposed to look. And if it does, and everything looks the way it's supposed to look, we say yes. And then they go ahead and they start the production of the book. And then it will also be available on the website, Amazon, and all the other distribution channels.
That's wonderful. I'm pretty much excited for reading those both of books. You know, I am definitely going to give a read. That is Leadership, The Lessons from the Field. And as soon as you release your second book, that is Ideas of Leadership, I'm definitely sure I'm going to be the first one to buy. I'll fetch that. So that's superb. So we are discussing about the book and you are the author, and there is one Instagram follower who asked you this question. Her name is Ashwini Das Gupta, and she asked you if you can give some tips and tricks to write a book, because she wants to write her book as well.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great question. This is book number 4 for me. I wrote 2 in the world of engineering and then 2 now in the world of leadership. So when I wrote the first book, I really did not know what I was doing. What I did was I wanted to, again, to show that I had some value and some worth to what I was doing in the industry I was working in. I was teaching at a college. So what I wanted to do is show people that I had this knowledge. So through the years of trying to learn, like I mentioned to you earlier in our earlier portion of this conversation, when I was trying to learn the different steps of engineering, I would take detailed notes and I would really go through and try to learn from everybody. And if somebody told me some piece of knowledge, I would write it down. And then I ended up with, 2-inch thick of notes, which I then combed through and turned that into a book. And because everyone kept wanting to read my notes. So I turned it into a book, and people enjoyed it, and it became a textbook for that college and then a few others. But then my second book, I approached it differently, because this wasn't just a copy of my notes. It was actually me having an idea that I wanted to get down onto paper and make it available for other people. So I wrote in that framework, and I wrote this book. I jotted down everything. It was just a complete mind dump of information that I had that I wanted to get on paper. And then I took it in series, in order. Okay, first thing I would do in the circumstances, I would do this, and I'd start writing about it. Second thing I would do is do this, and I'd start writing about that. And then I just walked myself through the entire process of how to do that portion of the engineering world. But then when it came to writing the third book, which was the Leadership Lessons from the Field, that was a one-on-one. If you came to me and said, you know what, I'm having issues with time management right now, I just don't know what to do. So I'd give you some suggestions, you'd leave, but then I'd write down, a 500 or 1,000 word synopsis of what it is we said. And then I put that out on our website for others who had that same issue. So that became a collection of mini articles, just little synopsises of issues people were having. But this last book was approached the way a traditional person would approach a book. So sorry for taking so long. I just needed to explain my journey to get here.
No.
This book, I sat down and we said, okay, now for somebody who's the first Leadership Lessons from the Field is for people who are entry level, trying to learn some basic tips and tricks to get to the next level. This one is more for people who really want to develop their leadership skills and understand what innovation is and what development truly is and what engagement is, and then action and sincerity, that's the acronym that makes up ideas. So once we know what those concepts are, how do we apply them to ourselves? So we had to truly make a framework, put together an outline and write the pieces necessary to make up that book. So we did that, and then we went ahead and took care of the graphics and the layout of the book. So again, let me, now that you know the steps I took, let me tell you what I would recommend. I would recommend that you come up with the idea of what it is you want to talk about, write some sort of outline so you know what you're trying to accomplish, So maybe you have 10 key points you want to touch on, and that will, way you can say, okay, I need to devote this much time and this many words to each key point. And then start at the first one, write it all down, go to the next one, write it all down until you get your 10 filled out. And then you read through it, make sure they all tie together nicely. And then go ahead and lay out the book and get the graphics taken care of. If you're lucky enough to get a publisher to do that for you, that's great. If not, there's no reason you need one these days. So take the time to do it yourself and come up with the graphics and lay out the book and take the time. And it doesn't take long. Just do a little bit of research on what software is best to lay it out for you and to put together a quick picture and so on and so forth.
Wonderful. Ashwini Das Gupta, I hope that, I'm pretty much sure that that answers your question. Jay, thank you so much for giving a detailed answer over here. And believe me, you can take all the time you want. There is no restriction to time. So, you know, and it's really important that these are the topics which needs to be explained in detail as well. And you are exactly doing the same thing. So, you know, it's completely great that you are giving such valuable time of yours and explaining each and everything in detail. So that is actually a privilege to me and to the audience of this show. There is one more guy. His name is Priyank Sharma. He goes with the name Praxis on Instagram. He asked you this, I think, a very, very important question, which I think he feels that he should be answered with. So how do you motivate yourself to start your day off? Like, what is the first thing you do to start your day off, and you know, it just goes all around?
Sure. No, that's a great question, because I'm sure I was not always like this, but right now I feel like I don't need too much motivation. I feel like if I'm working in the area I want to work, like we discussed earlier, going for your passion, that you wake up with the desire to want to do those things. When I worked in the music business, I woke up with the desire to want to work in music. So I found myself going to sleep and having ideas swarming around my head, and I couldn't wait to wake up to go work on those ideas. So now it's the same thing. I go to sleep and I'm thinking of people that I was coaching earlier that day, or thinking of something that I may want to write down for a future project or a podcast or radio show or some sort of topic, or even in, I mean, I say here, I think of everything. When I'm preparing for our podcasts or our radio shows or things we're putting together, I'm thinking of, well, what's the introduction going to say? And I just go over all these things in my head because I'm passionate about it. I want to be doing these things. So for me, I would follow your passion first. Mm. And I don't do any sort of routine. It's not like I have a formal routine. I mean, half the time I'm skipping breakfast and I'm doing all the things you're not supposed to do because I wake up with an idea and I want to go straight to work. I do have a home office. I have a home office and a home studio. So that way, if I do have ideas that come to me, I can work on them whenever I want. So a lot of times when I wake up in the middle of the night with an idea, I keep a notebook or even my cell phone, which I know I'm not supposed to keep next to my bed, but I do. And so I don't feel like I'm definitely perfect in any way that I should be saying, because I do things that I tell people you shouldn't do. You know, you're not supposed to keep a cell phone next to your bed. It hurts your sleep habits and things like that.
Right.
But it helps me take notes when I wake up in the middle of the night and have something quick I want to jot down. So I want to make sure, even I keep a little tape recorder so I can just wake up, speak into the recorder real quick and fall back asleep. And oddly enough, it helps me get right back to sleep because I don't have to worry about trying to remember that idea. So when I wake up, it's still there. I just get it off my mind. But I do that. And then when I wake up, if I'm that excited, I mean, I wake up and I go straight to work and I start typing it out. And before I know it, it's lunchtime. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even eat breakfast. So I just get involved and I go. And I do have children. I'm married with two kids and one on the way. So for me, I have to really be strategic with my time. You know, my children are in school and my wife is off doing her thing. So I need to plan around that. And it used to be, I would just work 24/7, and I'm probably not the role model for somebody who doesn't want to be a workaholic.
Right.
But now I, as I get older and I learn, I now think, okay, there's the right way and a wrong way to do these things. Mm. So to me, I would recommend just a routine. Wake up, you know, face your day. If you have to use some sort of software to keep yourself organized, or a to-do list or something like that. I use Apple products. So I have the Notes app and the Reminders app that I use nonstop. It's constantly telling the girl in the box to remind me to do this, remind me to do that. And I would tell you that, but three items on my desk here would start lighting up if I said the word. So I use those features to stay organized and to capture my thoughts and my ideas. So that way, when I'm in a meeting, I'm not trying to remember something else. I'm free to focus on my meeting. Right. And I find that that helps me. Those type of things help me. If I free myself of the distractions, and in this case, the distractions are the ideas I don't have the time to write down. Hmm. So I free myself of those. I can focus on my time here with you.
Right.
Or I could focus on my time in a meeting. Hmm. So that way, I'm not trying to think of 500 things at one time. Because contrary to popular belief, multitasking is not a good thing.
Wonderfully said, wonderfully said. Jay, I'm pretty sure that you have given a great answer. And, you know, like it is always said that when you have nothing to remember because you have all the softwares and many other things nowadays, the technology itself has evolved. So you have you don't have to remember things, but there are things who are going to remember it for you, and you don't have to take all the stress just to make sure that you remember all the things. So it helps you to stay focused as well. And as you said, the moment you have the to-do list in front of you, you know what things are to be done next, which automatically gives you the motivation. And actually, to be very honest, it gives me the motivation as well, as I plan my day before sleep every day. You know, the next day plan always goes before sleep. And whenever I, like, you know, get up in the morning, the first thing which I will be doing is look at that to-do list, the things which I need to do for the day. And that actually gives me motivation to go throughout the day as well, you know, because I have things to do. I am pretty passionate about it. And as you rightly said, that when I start working on it, I don't even realize that, oh, I missed the breakfast, right? So that is just wonderful. And, you know, that is one thing I guess that's common between us as well, that we do things and we do plan for things which needs to be done. So, well, I am pretty glad that there is at least one thing common between us, as you are such a big personality now. So that's just great. So
I'm sure there's more than one thing that we have in common. And I will tell you that it's a much better life when you can wake up and you're doing things that you love to do. So you're not constantly looking at the clock, wondering when is this day going to be over? So I can't stress enough. True. You to do something that you're passionate about.
Wonderful. Yes, that is so, so true. So this is the last question, Jay. I promise that. And this question I ask to all the guests who comes on this show. And that is this, that in order to people who wants to get in touch with you, who wants to follow the things which you are doing, where they can find you.
Sure. No, thank you for that. My website is jayfranze.com, jayfranze.com. My company is Franze Media, franzemedia.com. And my podcast, for anybody who would like to listen or join us live, we do stream and record live every Monday and Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific time. And that is franzeandfriends.com. So you can find all of it. The easiest way to do it is just go to jfranze.com. It has links to everything. I don't need to give you too many calls to action here. Just jfranze.com. And it also has a place you can ask questions. If you want to reach out to me, by all means, please do. My email address is the same thing, jfranzi@jfranzi.com. I'll take your emails. I'll answer your questions. If I didn't answer them to the satisfaction of you today, please follow up with me and tell me what I missed and what you need to know, and I will gladly answer anything I can for you.
Well, thank you so much, Jay, for that. And I'm pretty sure audience, because you want to get in touch with him quickly, so I'm going to specify the website link in the description as well. So make sure to check out his website and make sure to follow him on LinkedIn as well as on Instagram. I'm pretty much sure that you know, it's completely worth it. So you are just a click away from Jay Franzi. Make sure to get in touch with him if you have any questions. And if you want to hear his podcast, I'm going to specify that link as well in the description. With that being said, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you feel that this episode and this podcast adds value in your life, then make sure to share it with your loved ones as well, because they deserve to know as well. With that being said, Jay, once again, thank you so much for being a part of this show. I really, really appreciate with all the inputs which you have given. And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to need you soon for further more episodes. And I just wish that you wouldn't be telling no to me.
Well, thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it. This has been wonderful. The questions have been fantastic. And if you ever want me to come back, I'd be pleased and happy to come back.
Well, thank you so much, Jay. With that being said and done, thank you so much, guys, for listening to this episode. This is Aditya Mehta along with Jay Franzi signing off from this episode. See you in the next one. Till then, peace out.